The Bill Shakespeare Project presents This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending Monday, August 11th, 2014. Files, and welcome to the 11th episode of This Week in Shakespeare, a podcast brought to you by the Bill Shakespeare Project. This is our weekly opportunity to let you know about the latest and greatest in Willie Shakespeare headlines coming at you every Tuesday. The goal here is to hit you with a quick blast, no more than 10 minutes tops, of Bard-related news. Plus, we'll try to serve up some historical dates for what was the past 7 days of the year. So, this week's news stories included... WSOC-TV ran a story on a North Carolina barbershop customer who's been teaching neighborhood children Shakespeare over the course of the summer. The Minneapolis Star-Tribune ran a story on the current global touring production of Hamlet by Shakespeare's Globe. The American Conservative ran a story titled Shakespeare's Elusive Politics, which traced conservatism through the Bard's works, a stretch, but a fascinating and well-supported one. Vanity Fair ran a story on John Lithgow and Annette Bening as they begin their run in King Lear for Shakespeare in the Park in New York. The education website TheConversation.com ran a story entitled Shakespeare's Plays, Key Role in Teaching Children to Make Creative Leaps that discussed the growth in confidence and academic achievement that students who work with Shakespeare experience. TheaterMania.com ran a story on two Shakespearean drinking-related shows in New York City, Drunk Shakespeare and the Shakespeare Pub Crawl. Perry Class wrote an op-ed piece in the Wall Street Journal titled Shakespeare as Life Coach that was spurred by the author's attendance of King Lear. The Orange County Register in Southern California ran a story titled All the World's a Stage for Shakespeare Fans, which outlined some of North America's notable Shakespeare festivals. KQED Public Media in Northern California ran a story on a table reading of a new play that takes the story of The Tempest and puts it into modern-day California. The Times Journal of Albany, New York ran a story on Henry IV Parts 1 and 2 by Shakespeare and Company, running throughout the end of August in Lenox, Massachusetts. The Morning Call ran a story on Othello by Shakespeare in the Park in Allentown, Pennsylvania, which they've set in post-World War II America. Sierra Wave previewed the upcoming production of A Midsummer Night's Dream by Shakespeare in the Woods at Mammoth Mountain in California. Broadway World previewed the upcoming production of A Midsummer Night's Dream by Half Moon Bay Shakespeare in Northern California. The LA Weekly ran a story on the upcoming Los Angeles shows by the Improvised Shakespeare Company, a Chicago-based troupe creating smart, in-the-moment, Shakespeare-inspired narratives based off of audience-suggested titles. Their LA shows are August the 12th and 13th at Elephant Stage's Lillian Theater. WickedLocal.com previewed the upcoming production of Shakespeare's Guide to Lovers by the Plymouth Players. This is a kind of greatest hits package focusing on romance. It will be performed at the Plymouth Plantation in Kingston, Massachusetts. The Sheet News previewed A Midsummer Night's Dream by Sierra Classic Theater to be presented at Sam's Woodsite in Mammoth Mountain, California. The Albuquerque Journal previewed the upcoming production of As You Like It by Santa Fe Shakespeare Society at the O'Dog Theater in Albuquerque, New Mexico. BloggingShakespeare.com ran three reviews, the first of Antony and Cleopatra by Poor Shadows of Elysium in Austin, Texas, calling that production an experience not to be missed and that Austin was becoming a prime location for Shakespeare in North America. The next review was for Henry V by the Groundlings Theatre Company at the Rose Theatre in London. This 75-minute version stars one man, Richard Stride, as well as some onstage assistants and puppeteers. As messy as it sounds, the review says that it is incredibly energetic and impressive. And their last review was of Twelfth Night by Synecdoche Theatre, a roaring 20s set wordless production, part of their Silent Shakespeare series, saying that it balanced bubbly vivacity and thought-provoking poignancy. Also, BroadwayWorld.com reviewed both As You Like It by Connecticut Free Shakespeare, calling the 1960s set production brilliant, and The Taming of the Shrew by Independent Shakespeare Company in Griffith Park, Los Angeles, California, calling that production a comic delight. You can catch my review of this production of Taming on yesterday's blog entry, but let's just say that I really liked it. Meanwhile, both the New York Times and the British paper The Guardian reviewed King Lear by Shakespeare in the Park with John Lithgow in the title role, with the Times saying that his performance is filled with an innate decency and that the production is fast-moving if stiff-jointed, definitely a mixed review, and The Guardian saying that the performance was occasionally brilliant, but the experience overall not so great. The Hudson Hub Times reviewed Henry IV by Ohio Shakespeare Festival, calling the Akron, Ohio presentation both an entertaining evening and an engaging history lesson. The Londonist reviewed Henry IV Part 1 by Thrice Ninth at the Rose Theater at Bankside. Stripped down to 80 minutes and 5 actors, they've set it in a modern world, think CEO rather than king, and its radical update was much to enjoy. WFPL Public Radio in Louisville, Kentucky, reviewed the production of Pericles by Walden Theater, a youth conservatory training program that features original music and a sung chorus, performers with stage presence beyond their years. The Southern Utah Independent reviewed The Comedy of Errors by Utah Shakespeare Festival, giving the California Gold Rush set production a rave review and an A-minus grade, calling it an impeccably hilarious spoof. The Idaho Statesman reviewed The Merry Wives of Windsor by Idaho Shakespeare Festival. This updates the play to 1947 in Windsor, Wisconsin, and it's described as a total delight. And finally, the Cambridge News in England ran a review of Twelfth Night by Cambridge Shakespeare Festival, performed at St. John's College, saying that the production was filled with brilliant comic timing. Now let's take a look back at the last 7 days and how they relate to Shakespearean history, both his and the history in his plays. On August 5th, 1984, Richard Burton died of a brain hemorrhage. Burton was a great Shakespearean actor from Britain, with many Shakespearean credits of note, including a Hamlet in the early 1960s that earned him the title of the successor to Olivier. On August 6th, 1623, the wife of Shakespeare, Anne Hathaway, died. Not much is known about her, save that when they were married, she was pregnant and 8 or 9 years older than Shakespeare, who she outlived by another 7 years. On August 7, 1606, Macbeth was first performed in the Great Hall at Hampton Court. There is much debate on this, and the strongest alternative date is 5 years later in 1611. On August 9, 48 BC, the Battle of Pharsalus was fought in the Roman Civil Wars, where Julius Caesar defeated Pompey. This is mentioned in Julius Caesar. On August 11, 1596, Hamnet Shakespeare, son of William, is buried. He died probably 2 days earlier of the bubonic plague. At that time in history, nearly a third of all children died by the age of 10. He had a fraternal twin, Judith. And that was your week in Shakespeare. Listening to the Bill's Shakespeare Project presentation of This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending August 11th, 2014. For our blog and previous Twiz episodes, including links to the stories we've covered, as well as the real Bill Shakespeare Project podcast, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com. And we'll catch you next week.